Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The NBA has been the main driving topic of conversation on Sports Talk Radio for the last five, six, seven, eight. You may take it all the way back to the NBA playoffs. Baseball's had some interesting topics, but the NBA has really been driving the bus and grabbing sports fans' attentions. Well, they should. Maybe one of the biggest moves didn't have anything to do with a player. Well, yeah, I guess it did, the players that are on the New York Knicks, but not directly a player. The decision to give Phil Jackson his walking papers in New York. And here to give us some insight to it is a guy who covers the Knicks on a day-in, day-out basis. He does so for the New York Post. Mark Berman joins us here on CBS Sports Radio. How you been, Mark?
Hey, doing great, Joe. Thanks for having me on.
My pleasure. A couple different things we're going to hit on here. I don't think anyone except maybe Charlie Rosen would argue that Phil Jackson deserved his walking papers from New York. But the timing of it is the most questionable thing. If you're James Dolan, why do you let Phil Jackson dictate your draft, a couple of key selections there, and then fire him days afterwards? That doesn't make sense. If you're going to fire him, you fire him at the end of the season, and you start fresh with a different group in power and in charge of your organization. You don't let a guy do half the job and then decide that he is no longer worthy of having the position. I'm a Phil Jackson fan, have been for years. I still call him the best coach in the history of the NBA, and his failure as president of the New York Knicks to me does not change that. His overall NBA resume, depends on how you broach the conversation, certainly changes, but he is still one of the greatest head coaches of all time, but he was a failure as a president of the New York Knicks. I just don't get why he was able to run this draft. Can you explain the timing of this for me?
Oh, hey, Jody. Yeah, the timing is crazy, but free agency was about to start. Why did they let him run the draft? That's a great question. In fact, there are some people in the war room who probably would not have taken Frank Nicolina, the French point guard. There were some Malik Monk fans and definitely some Dennis Smith fans. Both were on the board. And now they have Frank and not Phil. So it is crazy, but it's the Knicks. I mean, that's how they run it. Dolan felt there was no way out. Phil had dug himself into too deep a hole to dig out of, and let's do it before free agency so Phil doesn't have to further damage the franchise by taking players based on their triangle savvy and not their basketball skills.
Understood. But now will the Knicks be judged harshly if they don't do anything in free agency? Because, yes, Phil's no longer here, but the team, the roster, where they're at in the league is still not that great, and they don't have just oodles of cap room that they can lavish and overpay for players. So despite Phil, does that signal the fact that they will be more successful in free agency?
Well, so far, it's only the first day, but a lot of their targets, especially at point guard, are off the board. You know, they love Jrue Holiday, thought he could really run Hornacek's offense. Jeff Teague was another fan favorite for the Knicks scouting staff. Both have signed, never got a meeting. Now they're kind of stuck. Even Sean Livingston was someone they had some interest in as a defender, and he signed right away with Golden State. Their big move is Ron Baker, who's a sort of a fan favorite, but he's a backup at best. Right now, you know, George Hill is on the board. They like him somewhat, but they probably don't even have cap space for him. I mean, this franchise is a mess. They spent their money last summer, and we thought they had a really, really good team when they signed Noah for $72 million. They signed Courtney Lee for $52 million. They made the Rose trade. Now there's you know, lukewarm interest in bringing Derrick Rose back. He's a free agent, but they may have to do it. I don't think they have a choice. They don't think Frank Nicolina is ready to be their starting point guard.
So the work is still very much, and that's what I've been trying to tell Knicks fans, some seem to think that the Knicks solved all their ills and their woes by firing Phil Jackson. No, there are still woes attached to this team, one of which includes Carmelo Anthony. And part of the knock on Phil, and rightfully so, is that he did not handle Anthony well in individual conversations and or conversations through the media, and putting the heat on Carmelo that he should do what's best for himself and the team and waive his no trade. And Carmelo's been adamant that, no, he doesn't want to do that. Then there's this rumor yesterday that the Knicks could be in a conversation with the Rockets to potentially trade Carmelo. Was he staying in New York just to spite Phil Jackson?
Well, I wasn't surprised the Rockets approached the Knicks because they just got Chris Paul, and that's Chris Paul asking Daryl Morey to see what you could do with Carmelo. The surprising part is there's a rumor that Carmelo would actually approve a trade, even a play for Mike D'Antoni. And we all know that Mike and Carmelo did not hit it off at all when they were in New York.
Right.
So it is a little surprising. But listen, Carmelo, I think, considers Chris Paul his best NBA friend. I know there's a lot of talk about him and LeBron, but I think him and Chris are closer. And the chance, you know, Houston was a team that recruited him in 2014. So he likes the city. And I think he realizes the Knicks are going nowhere next season, and I think if they could strike a deal, I think Carmelo might approve it. The big issue, honestly, it would be 100% no-brainer, but he does have his family issues going on, a potential divorce with his wife, and his son lives in New York City, and he wants to be close, and obviously Houston is not close at all.
If Chris Paul is his best NBA friend, how did he not get in those insurance commercials? DeAndre Jordan gets in them. He can't get Melo in the commercials. What's up with Chris Paul?
Yeah, that's how far New York Knicks have fallen. They didn't want Melo in that in that spot.
We'll see how it works out going forward. Mark Berman of the Post here with us on CBS Sports Radio. All right, so Phil's done. So the Knicks need another executive. I don't think they're going to just ask Steve Mills to do it all, be general manager and president, report directly to Dolan. Someone's going to come in as an intermediary, whether it's Mills taking over the presidency and hiring a general manager, or someone coming in above Mills that Dolan would hire and then Mills would report to him. How do you think it's going to shake out? How will Phil be replaced?
I think at this point, Dolan wants some tranquility, and he knows with Steve Mills he would get that. He trusts Steve quite a bit, and I think he feels guilty. Steve was the Knicks president in the 2013-14 season, and the club faltered. And in March, Dolan pulled the rug from beneath him and hired Phil and made one of the worst mistakes of his Knicks ownership. So maybe he feels indebted to give Phil, to give Steve another crack at it. He only had, 5 or 6 months. But listen, David Griffin is an excellent basketball guy. He doesn't probably get enough credit for, you know, surrounding LeBron with the guy. Listen, LeBron is amazing, and any GM probably has a great shot at making the finals. But still, 3 straight finals is tough to do. And David Griffin made that happen by giving the right role players. He made that trade with the Knicks that really worked out. Everyone was wondering, Shumpert, J.R. Smith, they turned into important rotation pieces for the Cavaliers. So Griffin's a great hire if they could get him, if Griffin wants to share the role with Mills. But I think Griffin would be the big basketball guy, and Mills would just be more of the liaison with Dolan.
And if they get their hands on Griffin, I think it would be a nice signing by them. With the fact that Phil is now done with the Knicks, he's 70-plus years old. And we knew this from the start, that he wasn't 100% in, that he took the job but under certain circumstances. And I think his biggest problem was ego, that he thought he could just be a part-time executive, and he's so much smarter than everybody else, he could still build the Knicks back into a championship contender without doing the work that others were around the league, and it just didn't work and was a failure. Is this it? Are we not going to see Phil Jackson tied to an NBA team in any way, shape, or form? Is someone going to try and make him the Jerry West of their organization as an advisor? I don't think we're ever going to see him full-time again, but is he more likely to end up out roaming the hills of Montana for the rest of his days?
I mean, he's got such an ego that he might want one more crack at something, but you're right, probably as a Jerry West-type consultant, maybe. I think he's been linked to Golden State already because of his friendship with Steve Kerr. I hope he just retires. He's not in good health. We saw it every day. He doesn't walk well. I mean, there was a report about, you know, him dozing off, and we know he's on a lot of pain medication. And I just hope that Phil could enjoy his retirement years. He should never have come out of retirement. Jeannie Buss, ironically, was the one who encouraged him because she is not nowhere close to retiring. She thought Phil was just, you know, in the house at Playa Del Rey and didn't have enough hobbies, so she said, why don't you do this Knicks thing? But I think maybe now he realizes it's time to enjoy the spoils of his riches. You know, he got $60 million, so I'm not going to feel that sorry for him. But I do think it tarnished his legacy and it tarnished the triangle. But I think when time goes on, we'll still remember Phil as the great coach who had 11 rings as a coach and 2 rings as a player.
Mark, great stuff. Appreciate you coming on board. Thanks much. We'll see how the worm turns next for the Knicks. We'll be reading about it in the Post with you. Thanks, pal.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.